Amen. Let's give it up for the band leading us in worship. Man, I hope your cup is filled up. We've been talking about alignment, and we feel like from all the testimonies of people that have been saved during this series and the lives that have been changed and enlightenment that is occurring, that God has given us some strong words to open this session for this year. And so today I want to continue down that road and this concept of alignment. And today I've entitled the message, Layers, Levels, and Lengths, three L's for you. And I think I have something this morning that from marriage to parenting to being a student to being a businessman, a business owner, I think I have something that I can give you today that is going to be very, very helpful. Whenever we think about these three L's that we're going to be talking about in just a moment, when you think of layers, I want you to think of depth. I want you to think of how deep does the rabbit hole go? And so all of us in life, if you live long enough, I'm going to get an amen right here. If you live long enough, you're going to experience layers of life. Can I get an amen if you've experienced any layers in life? I guarantee you there'll be layers sometimes of loss. Sometimes there'll be layers where we're searching. Sometimes there's layers where we might even feel alone. But there's all kinds of character building things that happen to us in life that we will refer to as layers. Layers is going to speak to our experience, more so what we're feeling about what we're going through in life. And so whatever you're going through in life this morning, that's the layer that you're on. Now, levels, we're going to expand. And levels, if layers speak to depth, we're going to talk about levels speak to dimensions, all right? Dimensions. And it's really important because just like layers speak to what you're experiencing, levels are going to speak to enlightenment. So it's going to be the answer of why you're going through what you're going through. I want you to imagine for just a moment if you had all the layers of life without understanding the levels that you're supposed to be experiencing, without any enlightenment, if you're going through the experience without any enlightenment to go with it, how that you might just get lost in a layer because you don't understand the level of what's happening around you. When you are living out of alignment, life will be confusing. Life will be marked by chaos. Life will be marked by questions and not answers. And so I hope that you'll listen to me this morning because I'm going to give you four witnesses that speak specifically to what layers and levels mean when they come together. And then the last one was lengths. And that's how far, or we might even say distance, how far you have to go to accomplish God's will for your life. Understand this, grace is free. Amen? Grace is free. But the will of God is always going to come at a price. The will of God is always going to come at a cost. And so these three concepts of layers, levels, and links come into contact with dreams, purpose, and pain. Dreams, purpose, and pain. Everybody, when you start off as a young person, some of you, it's longer back there, but you remember when you were a young person, your life is full of dreams, right? Every child that plays their first any game and does their first any cheer, dance, whatever, in their minds, they always go to I'm going to be in the NFL, I'm going to be in the NBA, I'm going to be the president of the United States. That's where all children begin. They begin with dreams, don't they? And then they begin to experience life. And so then you move up to levels of understanding. And then you have to realize that every dream, whether it's secular, whether it's spiritual, is going to come at a cost. And no great person, no great thing was ever accomplished without a measure of pain. Is that true? Can I get, if you want to have a great marriage, you're going to have to go through some pain because it's for better and what? Worse, all right? That's why they make you promise that at the altar, okay? Because we as pastors know there's going to be a little bit of better and there's going to be a little bit of worse. And so in order for you to accomplish God's will for your life, you're going to understand that layers, levels, and links intersect with dreams, purpose, and pain. And so I'm gonna help somebody today. Someone walked in here today with some pain, some unexplained pain, some unexplained level that you're going through or layer that you're experiencing. And I promise by the time we get to the end of today's message that I should be able to help you understand. And enlightenment, when you add enlightenment to your experience, it will change. It'll instantly change the way you perceive what's going on. So with that being in mind, let's get into the message. We're going to start at the end of testimony number one. We're going to look at Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. He says to his brothers this incredible statement. It says that, and I'm going to take you through the context, but it says that Joseph wept, and then he looked at his brothers, and he says, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good, so that he could save many people alive, so that my tribe could survive." I want you to think about what you're going through in a greater context of your tribe, whether your tribe is your family, your tribe is your extended family, your tribe is your company, your whatever your tribe is, how that God is trying to use you on a completely different level than just living the layers of life. Now, this is the conclusion of Joseph's story. And I want us to understand how he got here. For those of you that have been in church for any length of time, you know that Joseph lived a multi-layer life. Amen, right? Like Joseph went through, when I count him up, at this specific juncture in his life, he's five layers deep. And Joseph's story started with what? A dream. He had this dream, this crazy dream, when he was just a pipsqueak teenage boy. And this dream was that all of his older brothers would one day come and bow down before him and honor him and worship him, even indeed his father, the great Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, the son of Abraham and Isaac, the son of promise, the three main patriarchs that would be the father of all of the tribes of Israel. Here is Joseph saying that one day Jacob would bow before him also. So all of his brothers and his parents would one day bow before him. His brothers were angry about his dream. Now I want to share a little bit of a side note with you for just a moment in case you didn't know this already in life. Not everybody will be excited about you being blessed. Can I get an amen on that? Haters gonna hate, right? Can I get an amen? Right? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much they say they like you or they say that they are for you. I promise you, when you are blessed, some people will not appreciate the blessing that God pours out on you. As a matter of fact, what they will say to themselves, they will not say it to your face, right? They will never say it to your face, but they will say it in their minds. They will say, "Why them and not who? Not me. Why them and not me?" Crazy, right? Crazy. Even inside churches, people can be jealous of other people's blessings. Like, why do they get to do that and I don't get to do that? Why do they? I mean, it's crazy how crazy we are. And so here is Joseph given a dream, and this dream is that he's one day going to be blessed. And I think that you're going to realize that his brothers, they understood layers, but they didn't understand levels, right? And if they understood levels, they wouldn't have been upset about the blessing or the dream that God had given their brother. And so they sell him as a slave. They wanted to kill him, but one of the brothers said, we won't make any money if he's dead, so let's sell him to this caravan. And so they sell him off, and he ends up in this place called Potiphar's house. And I gotta fast forward the story to get to the good, but he ends up in Potiphar's house, and while there, he ascends inside of Potiphar's house to the head of the servants, only to then be falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. And so he's thrown from there into the dungeon of Pharaoh. While he's in the Pharaoh's dungeon, there was a guy that was essentially a butler, and there was a chef, a baker, if you will, and a candlestick maker. Maybe, I don't know. But they had dreams. And as they had their dreams, Joseph interpreted their dreams. He's like, I got bad news for you. You're going to die. I got good news for you. You're going to be reinstated as the Pharaoh's cupbearer. And he says, when you get there, please remember me. Of course, he's promptly forgotten when this guy is elevated. And so then, who has a dream? Pharaoh has a dream. As I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking about the movie from 2010, Inception. Did anybody remember that movie? There's like a dream within a dream, and then they gotta go three layers deep, and they realize at three layers that something bad goes wrong, and then I gotta go four layers. Oh my gosh, if we go four layers, what's gonna happen? We're all gonna die. Anyway, four dreams inside of a dream to accomplish Inception. When you think about Joseph, he's five layers deep. His brothers have sold him, number one. He's in Potiphar's house, number two. He's thrown into the dungeon, and that's level three. While he's in the dungeon, Pharaoh has a dream. And who can interpret this dream but Joseph? There was this guy, when I was in prison, Pharaoh the cupbearer tells him, and he told me my dream. He said, this guy's going to die, and I'm going to live, and now I'm alive. He can help you with your dream. Bring him to me. He brings him up. He tells him his dream. Seven fat cows are going to eat seven skinny cows. I don't even know what the message is in that. No, I really do. But there's going to be seven good years, and there's going to be seven bad years. And you got to save up during the seven good years to prepare for the seven bad years. And so here was now Joseph elevated, and this is level four. He's elevated to second in command of all of the world, Egypt, the most powerful country at the time. And then who comes walking in but the very brothers that sold him into slavery? And I started, oh my gosh, it's the poetic justice of what God can do is nothing. You can't do what God can do. If you could just rest in that. When it comes to your enemies, you devise in your little evil mind what you would do if you could just have power to hurt them, right? If I wouldn't go to jail, what would I be able to do? I know we come up with all these things that we wish on our enemies. And I want you to know there is nothing that you can conceive of that is better than what God has in mind. If you could just rest in that God has it under control, and what he's going to do is better. It's better than what you could ever dream or wish for. And one day his brothers come walking in, not knowing that it's Joseph. They don't even recognize their own brother. He's grown up and he's in Egyptian garb. And here we see layers, levels, and links colliding, right, with dreams, purpose, and pain. I want you to know that if you live in alignment, you will always arrive at purpose. If you live in alignment, you will always arrive at purpose. Now, why do I say it like that? Because purpose is a place. Purpose is something that you get to. It's not something you start off with. You see, whenever you're living inside of layers, it's experiential, but it's not enlightened. Whenever you start off as a young person, you have all of these ideas and aspirations, and you go through all of these experiences, but you have to live for a little while to get to enlightenment, right? Sometimes people can live a very long time and not ever arrive at enlightenment. And so they can get stuck in layers. What would it be like if Joseph would have ever been fixated on the layers instead of being focused on the levels? Do you think that you could ever get tempted if you're going through all of that pain? That if you didn't have enlightenment to understand the multidimensional things that are going on? You see, when his brothers walked in, they were thinking, once Joseph reveals himself, they think they're dead. They're dead. Their instant thought was they're dead. Because what would they do to Joseph if the situation were reversed? They were thinking on a physical level, but Joseph, he had to be thinking on a spiritual level. And so whenever it comes to our passage, put Genesis 50 back up on the screen. It says that at the very end, Jacob dies. And Jacob tells every brother what their lot is going to be in life. And the last one, he says, Joseph, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed beyond blessing. It says he drew his feet up in his bed. This is at the end of chapter 49. Go home and read it. I love the Bible's details. He drew his feet up in his bed and he breathed his last. His last words were a blessing to the son that he thought he had lost. Man, so, the next passage, his brothers believe that their covering, their father, is gone. And that Joseph now has just been waiting. He's just been waiting till dad dies, and then he's going to settle the score. And so they say to Joseph, before dad died, he told us to tell you, which they were still lying, by the way. He told us to tell you not to kill us, and that we were sorry, and that he wanted you to forgive us for the fact that we had sold you into slavery into Egypt. And now we are very sorry. And like they want to make sure that like we're agreeing with dad, though, that we are very sorry that we did that to you. And it says at that moment is when Joseph wept. Do you know that if you were to grab a hold of enlightenment this morning, if you would open your mind inside of alignment to the levels that God is operating on, you would come to a conclusion that your pain is not punishment, it is placement. And if you understand the difference between placement and punishment, then all of a sudden your mind and your perspective on what you're going through will shift dramatically, because you would realize that he placed you there. You're not being punished by being there. He's placed you there for a reason. Your tribe needs you to go through what he's placed you in order to save them, to be a commercial for him up above. Are you willing to go through the lengths that it takes in order to get to the enlightenment level of what you are experiencing in the layer? So the layer that you're going through is how you feel. And I'm sure that Joseph had a myriad of emotions that he was going through. What allowed him to rise above bitterness? What allowed him to rise above anger? Some of you just carry around that anger and that bitterness because of something that someone said or did, a chip on your shoulder, always critical, always looking for how someone is doing it wrong and how you could certainly do it better. Here was Joseph. If ever there was a guy, five layers deep, that deserved to be full of rage and anger and revenge, it was Joseph. And yet, how did he rise to this point where he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good? I understand that now. It's almost overwhelming when God finally pulls back the curtain and says to you, Your pain is not punishment. Your pain is placement. It's product placement so that a world can see that I'm trying to save it. And I'm using you as a commercial. Oh, this morning that we would fixate on the levels, the dimensions, that there are spiritual things that God is trying to work out inside of us, that he's maneuvering us so that someone else can receive the blessing as a result of our obedience. Are you willing to go the distance of the length in order to get the understanding of the level? What would it be like if a person went through all of those layers without enlightenment and never arrived at purpose? If they went through all of that pain and never knew that it had purpose, imagine being the Israelites who walked out of Egypt and died in the wilderness and never arrived at their purpose. They were living in layers and not on levels. They were living on experience without any enlightenment. Wouldn't it be terrible if people went through all of life just going from one experience to the next experience, never understanding that there was another level? Never understanding that there was a spiritual component to be understood? Never having enlightenment that their pain could have purpose? That their pain could have redemption? That their pain could be used as a blessing for someone else? I think that you would arrive in misery. I think you would arrive at a person without joy, without happiness, without that light that is in the eyes of those that are living on another level. Isn't it amazing that they can go through those things and have a different attitude than you have? That brings me to witness number two. I call Brother Job to the stand. If ever there was a guy that understood layers, levels, and links, it has to be Job, right? It has to be Job. Put the verse up on the screen. I give you his theme verse. He said, it says that after Joseph lost all that he had, that he worshiped. Now, I don't know when you have a bad day, if you just like sit down and worship. But I guarantee you, I don't think that I do this most of the time. Whenever I have a bad day, I tend to complain. Anybody? Just like when someone doesn't do what you think they should do or when they do something wrong to you, you tend to complain. Here is Job, just lost everything that he owns. And it's getting ready to get worse. And it says that he worshiped. He worshiped. Naked came I into this world. Naked shall I return. The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the church said, amen. Amen. If you get to the place, if you get to the place in life that you could pray this prayer honestly, if you in your lifetime could just with one breath and one moment of clarity be able to pray this, it would change you forever. Forever. There was a council of angels that came before God. And it says, amongst the sons of God, Satan was numbered. And this most interesting story transpires in Job that is unequaled in the Bible. We never see this story ever again. Crazy, crazy story. It says that Satan comes before God. God starts the conversation. It says, have you considered my servant Job? I mean, a guy who does not entertain evil, but does what is righteous in my eyes. And Satan says, well, it's because you've blessed him. You put a hedge around him. I can't get to him. If you were to take his stuff, I guarantee you he would curse you to your face. And God says, you can do anything you want, just don't touch him personally. And so he goes out from there, and this is the day that he lost everything. He lost his sheep, he lost his goats, he lost everything. And the last thing that he lost was all seven of his children. The next day, the angels are convened again. And God says to Satan, have you considered my servant, Job? One that he doesn't entertain evil. He chooses what is righteous. He says, well, he only chooses what is righteous because you've given him his health. If you let me touch him, I guarantee you he will curse you to your face. And God said, you can have him, you can touch him, but you cannot kill him. At this juncture, Job is struck with leprosy, with sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And we find him sitting in an ash heap with a piece of pottery scraping the pus boils off his body. And yet in all of this, the Bible says he did not curse God. His own wife at this juncture, guys, get ready. You better thank God for the wife that you have. Because Job's wife says, are you still going to maintain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and get it over with and die? I mean, doesn't that bless your heart this morning? You're looking for that word of affirmation. You've lost everything that you own. You've lost every one of your children. And now it looks like you are on death's door with an incurable disease. And right at your moment of need, that one that is closest to you says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" What do you do when your own wife doesn't believe in you anymore? And then his three best friends show up and tell him it must be his fault. Can you imagine looking at someone who's buried every one of their children, seven children, and saying, "You caused this? You brought this on yourself?" Even if it were true, is that something you should ever say? His wife and his best friends have betrayed him. Think about the layers that Job is experiencing. How in the world can he go through that experience and not be bitter toward God? How could you live the layers of loss that Job experienced and not be angry with God? It's only through enlightenment. It's only through understanding that levels are occurring. Even when I don't know they are, my alignment with the Father above says that I know some things about his character. I know some things that are true. I know some infinite parts about the Master who sits on the throne above. And the most important thing that Job knew is that he said, "God is just." He said, "Should I receive blessing only from God? Should it only go well for me, or should I not be able to receive that which is bad from God too? You love the sunshine, but do you appreciate the rain?" And in life, man is going to have good things and they're going to have bad things. And those bad things are not because of God. Those bad things are because of sin and because of Satan and because of fallenness. And so God is not bringing bad upon any of us. And yet some of us have had a portion, just a portion of what Job, just a little bit of lost. And we get fixated on the layer of loss without any focus on the level God is trying to get something to us. Job realized that his pain had purpose, that the price that you pay when you're willing to go to the lengths. As a matter of fact, at the end, when Job is talking to his friends, they said, "How far, Job, are you willing to take this?" And he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." When are we going to realize that we have to go the distance in order to understand the depth, that we have to go the distance in order to understand the dimension? So many of us pause when we need to persevere, and that's why you don't know your purpose. If I ask you that question this morning, what is your purpose? Well, that's a loaded question, isn't it? What is your purpose? What did God allow you to live on this earth for? Man, if you're wrapped up in the layers this morning, you'd begin to tell me that your life is about all of these things that have happened in your life. All of these things that have led to this moment, all these things that have caused you pain, all these things that have hurt you, it could be so many things that you could get wrapped up in the layers. And without the levels, you will never understand the layers. And then you won't go the length that you have to go to in order to arrive at purpose. There was Job in the midst of all that pain. But because he knew God, because he was aligned with God, he could say, "My pain has purpose." He's purchasing commercials for the Creator so that for thousands of years, whenever anyone in here goes through loss that is unspeakable, to bury a child is unspeakable pain. To lose someone that's close to us is unspeakable pain. To go through disease that we didn't deserve is a very difficult thing. Can I get an amen? So how many of us can look at the Picasso of the pain that was painted by Brother Job thousands of years ago, and in the midst of our hurts, right, we can find hope? Why do you need to endure the pain that God has put before you? Because someone else is going to need to see the painting of your pain and how you endure it, because that will give them the hope that they need in their darkest hour. It will give them the help that they need to endure when they want to quit. But someone has to show them. Someone has to really live it to understand that the calling has a cost, that the pain has a price. And every time I pay that price, I purchase a commercial for my Creator above. Lastly, we'll find Paul and Silas in the dungeon. So cinematic. At the midnight hour. Just put up the midnight hour verse. I think it's like around 17. I don't know. Is that it? Oh, there it is, 25. About the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began praying and singing. I love this. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it's so easy to preach. I'm not even going to preach the cheap part to you, okay? I'm going to touch on it, but I'm not going to preach the easy part because I got something else for you. When I was thinking about alignment and I was thinking about worship, Job worshiped, Joseph worshiped, and they worshiped their way through the different layers, understanding the different levels, being willing to go through all the links. And here is Paul and Silas, and they are in the dungeon, the inner dungeon, and they've been locked away. It says after they beat them with many blows. And what did they do that deserved such a beating? There was a little girl that was possessed with a demon, and Paul called out the demon, and that demon was a source of money because she was able to tell the future. And whenever the men that owned her saw that their money was gone as a result of her inability now to tell the future, it says that they beat them and they threw them in this prison. So their reward for setting a little girl free that was owned by men who had less than the best designs for her life was to be thrown into a prison. And I thought, how many people would be blaming and complaining if they were beaten for doing something good for God? How many of us believe that when we do good things for God, that something bad is never going to happen? That people are always going to pat us on the back and say, great job, Pastor Tim. I'm so glad you held me accountable this week. No, that's not ever going to happen. Nobody ever says that. Thank you for preaching that hard sermon on giving. I really needed that. No one has ever said that to me. Ever. So if we are waiting to receive the attaboys from the audience rather than understanding that the level that I am trying to achieve is for an audience that's above the one that's sitting in this room, then I will be constantly manipulated by people rather than understanding what? My purpose. And so here are Paul and Silas, beaten, bloodied, and in the dungeon at the midnight hour. Man, that almost sounds like a song, doesn't it? At the midnight hour. And so it says they began praying and they began singing. Oh my goodness. I just wish someone in here today would arrive at the place that they would quit blaming and complaining about their lot in life, about who I'm married to, about my kids aren't the smartest, they can't run the fastest, they didn't make the or whatever it is that you're blaming or complaining about this morning, and that you would realize that the level that you're fixated on is not the one from God. You are fixated on an earthly level, and God is trying to elevate you to a heavenly level, and he's saying, quit fixating on the layers and start focusing on the levels. He started praying and they started singing, and all of a sudden the earth started shaking. I mean, that's good. That's good. When you are worshiping and the earth starts shaking, I haven't experienced it yet, maybe before I die. And so here the earth starts literally shaking. And then what happened? The chains all fall off. Now, there's multiple prisoners in the room. You understand that, right? Like, their worship set other men free that day. You get that, right? That's just cheap. That's just easy right there, okay? That's not even hard to preach right there. So they worshiped, and others that were around them were set free as a result of their worship. All the chains
fell off. And then what happened? The doors opened. Man, that's so good. That's so easy. I mean, when you think of the earth shook, the chains fell off, and then the doors opened whenever their worship was aligned with the Father above. And then what happened? They went out. They went out. And you think that your freedom is a way of escape. Oh, can we get to another level this morning? He's not trying to get you out. He's not trying to get you out. He's trying to position you. He's trying to position you to share with someone that's about at the end. Someone might have walked in here this morning and you might be at the end. The end of the layer of loss. The end of hope. The end of light. They walk out of the prison, and the prison warden, the one that was in charge of locking them in, it says that he drew what? His sword, and he's about to end his life. Are you getting that this morning? That desperation are for those that are outside, that aren't experiencing what you're experiencing in here this morning. There are people just outside that you don't even know about. There's people just outside those doors that you don't even know about. And what you do in here is going to determine what happens to them out there. It says that he drew his sword. They said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. We're all still here." And he said, "Oh my gosh, what must I do?" This is the response of the lost when you're willing to go the lengths, when you're willing to understand the levels, when you're willing to move past the experience of the layers, and you're willing to say that it's all about Jesus Christ. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Oh my gosh. The guy takes him to his house. He's bathing their wounds that they had been beaten by. And it says they sat around the house table celebrating that he had believed in God and all his household. Now I want you to think about that for just a little bit as we wrap this message. I mean, how many layers deep is this story? How many levels were Paul and Silas living on that they could worship in the midst of their pain? Oh, do you understand that if the ground doesn't shake, and if the chains don't fall, and if the doors don't open, how will you reach them in time? How will you? They're out there desperate. They're out there. They're lost. They're broken. They're undone. There is no hope at the end of their tunnel. And if you don't worship with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, if your worship doesn't move the earth, if it doesn't loose the chains, if it doesn't open the doors, there's people out there that you don't even know about right now. How will you reach them if you're not willing to go the length of what it takes to worship God? Oh, grace is free, but worship is going to cost you everything. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. God, we're looking for those willing to pay the price of worship, unabandoned, unadulterated, authentic worship, aligned with the Heavenly Father, understanding that what we do in here impacts what happens to them out there. That our life is not our own, but it has been bought with a price. That we owe you everything, God, everything. That whenever you cause the sunshine, we say amen. But when the rain falls and the storm rages, we come to the conclusion of Brother Job, who says, "You've given us all the good things. Should we not accept the bad as well? The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. I will bless the name of the Lord this morning? Can we listen to the testimony of Joseph and hang on long enough to arrive at purpose? And when we get to purpose and we find out that you placed us, you did not punish us, that God, we would say, amen. That God, we would say, hallelujah. That we would say, praise be to the God that took me through all those layers so that I could understand him at the level that I understand him today. That I can praise him in the bad times. And I can worship him knowing that my pain has purpose. Would you stand with us as we worship?